Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We have Dave Tier on the line, and he's an author in one of our upcoming books. And for those of you that have been watching this show for a long time, you know I love a good author interview, and I love to interview our authors. And we're going to get into some of Dave's content today. We'll also be talking about his business and what he's doing at Sales Coaches Corner. But just to get us started off, Dave, welcome.
Thank you, Adam. Pleasure to be here. Absolutely pleasure to do this. Appreciate you having me.
All right, Dave. So excited to get into really sales, get into some of the things that people watching this should know. A lot of entrepreneurs, executives, and experts watch this, and we're always looking for sales tips, sales advice, and really just insight into how to provide more value into the marketplace, because that's what you're doing with a great, well-oiled sales machine. But that being said, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, Dave, with our Mission Matters Minute. So, Dave, we at Mission Matters amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Dave, what mission matters to you?
I got to tell you, probably here, I like to help people probably more than you want anymore. So I'm going to say it, but I'm going to ask for a pass. All right. I've got a business that allows me to do that. I get to help people. My dad's a teacher. My parents are teachers. They met at Michigan. They both became teachers. I learned long ago not to be a teacher, right? But I still get to teach. I went into the sales training and coaching business, and I'm going to tell you, the best feeling in the world is making a sale. Second best feeling in the world is getting a call from a client that made a sale, and he's thanking you for it. And I'm telling you, that matters. It matters to me, and I hope I'm just helping a lot of people. That's my mission, helping people and helping them in their careers. Life lessons, for sure. Life lessons. But they use a bit laser focus to their career in sales.
Yeah.
So I love
it. It's great. And love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the show to share why they do what they do, like what motivates them and gets them going and up and going in the marketplace to make a difference. So great to have you on. And I guess next thing I just got to bring up, so you were selected for the next Business Leaders edition of Mission Matters, which I'm just ecstatic to publish your work and your words. And for all our, I know I learned from you, and I'm sure our readers will as well. So first thing, I just want to say congrats on being chosen to be in the next book.
Well, I appreciate it. Again, it's, and I watched the lottery last night, the NBA lottery, right? I was hoping the Pistons would get number one. They got number five, but I feel a lot luckier than the Pistons right now, right? Thank you for that. Appreciate it. It's neat. It's going to be neat. I can't wait to read it. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to distribute it to all my clients and a few prospects.
So, Dave, we're not going to give all of the secret sauce in this one, because we definitely want the we want our audience to go out and buy books, right? We sell books, everyone. So more to come, and we will be bringing Dave, by the way, back on the show as well. So that we'll be doing another interview with him, where we'll do a deep dive into the writing, of course, after the book is live. But just to give the audience a flavor of what are some of the things that you like to cover in your writing.
Let's put it into three buckets. Again, nothing real deep. Bucket number one, and it's so common for salespeople, and I'm not talking 2 weeks on the job. I see career salespeople do this from time to time, to over-educate, really dig into what they're providing feature benefit-wise, product or service, and really make it about the product, the company, the salesperson. And I'll tell you, if I could say anything to help folks run the opposite direction of that, and make it about the problem, right? Sell to the pain, a big fancy word. Sell to the problem. That's number one. And these are in no order, but that is a pretty good number one. Number two, there's a reality in this business, in the sales business, in many businesses. In sales, it's, is this thing going to move forward and turn into business, or is it not? I'm a giant fan of getting to that reality. And if it's not, don't waste the time practicing another quote. There's no need to work on something that isn't going to happen just because you've got to fulfill a pipeline, just because you've got a boss wondering how busy you are. Right? So many people waste time on opportunities that will never grow fruit, look busy, keep their boss happy until it's time to measure. And then there's nothing to count on. So number one, don't do old school, you know, feature benefit dump. Number two, get to reality. And the reality might be you don't have an opportunity. It saves time and money. And number three, be a master of setting expectations, a master of driving the bus. You do a fantastic job of this, Adam. I've watched you a number of times. You run the interview without looking like a control freak, but it is all your show. And that's what has to happen in sales. We need to direct the ship, drive the bus, without looking like we're doing anything. And control is a funny word, but it's a very subtle control. I mean, those are three real thick threads woven through this material, and it'll be woven through the book as well.
It's awesome. And I mean, one of the reasons I like talking to you, I mean, there are many, but one of the reasons is because, you know, you're a true craftsman when it comes to sales. And a lot of times, and I want to take a moment to maybe speak to that younger generation. And I don't mean, or maybe even, you know, individuals that are considering a career in sales that maybe are pivoting from another career. There's a lot going on. We're recording this in 2022. Lots of sales opportunities and positions out there. But I feel like a lot of people don't maybe understand the idea of it being a craft. Like, and being a true career and something that can be very lucrative, but also very fulfilling. So maybe, you know, talk for a moment or two, to that next group, it doesn't have to be just by age. It could be by, you know, changing careers or other things like that, but individuals that are considering a career in sales, maybe talk to them a little bit.
Very good. Well, I don't know if it happens daily in my world, but certainly weekly. My kids are at the age right now where they're 2-3 years into their careers, but a lot of their friends are starting careers. So oftentimes it is a friend or an acquaintance of theirs. And we discuss it. I'm always quick to, because I am going to put this in two different categories, Adam. Mm-hmm. If I'm talking to the younger generation that doesn't have experience, they don't know what they love. It's a funny thing to say, but if you don't know what you love, you got to try some different things, try some new things.
For sure.
Understand it's not going to be easy, number one. Number two, understand the rejection involved is incredible. Mm-hmm. And people that have never been rejected, and don't know how old you are, Adam, but if everybody gets a trophy in soccer, they don't keep score, and there's never an opportunity to fail or lose, it's a shock to some people. Right. The rejection in sales is incredible. What other profession can say they failed 75% of the time?
Yeah, it's tough.
Accounting can't do that. Production better not do that. My dad as a teacher couldn't do that.
No.
But you can't. Right. Some people fail 75% of the time in sales and get rich. So the rejection is gigantic. And then there's this element of talking to strangers that don't want to buy from you. About and talking to them and continuing to talk to people that may not want to talk to you about something they don't want to buy. It's not what people think of when they think of going into the sales profession. They think of the money. They think of the freedom. They think of the fun. They think of talking. They think of travel. They think of lunch, right? Those are old school thoughts. There is all of that, but that's not what sales is. So I have I don't talk people out of it, but I get to reality. And the same thing with folks switching careers. When anybody comes to me, and it happened the other day, it happens often, especially now, right? There's a lot of lot of opportunities now, a lot of jobs open. People are switching. It's if they can really zero in on something that they love, it's much easier. But just because you love it doesn't mean it's going to fall in your lap Yeah. But if you could spend your waking hours talking about selling and playing in a sandbox of something that you love, it's a lot easier, mm-hmm. right? If somebody really enjoys the outdoors and they're good with their hands, there is nothing wrong with a career selling remodeling, landscaping, decks, construction, right? It just makes sense. It plays into what they love, but it's also a sales career. So I spend time with people on what wires them, what really energizes them, and see if I can help plug them in. But it's less often of, let me tell you how great it is. And you may fall into that career with false expectations because it ain't always great, right? So it's a real discussion about the reality of it. And if you can't handle no, not for you. If you don't like prospecting and hunting for business, not for you, right?
So let's take, I think it's great advice. And I still remember some of the first companies I worked for, you know, some of them were amazing. Some of them weren't always the best because I was, you know, in that younger stage of learning about, you know, what my opportunity was going to be and what I liked. And, you know, a lot of times you think you want one thing and then you end up wanting another. So that's the life part of it. But maybe speak to a moment on just like when you do find an opportunity, and I don't mean compensation package. I don't mean, you know, getting too granular, but what are some of the things that you believe make for a good sales opportunity for somebody to look a step further, whether it's company mission or just in general, like, what do you think is a good sales opportunity? Because I feel like that's the next thing. Somebody says, okay, I want to try a career in sales. And then they're like, but you know, I don't know exactly where to start. Right.
Yeah. A few things come to mind, and I'll start with that company mission for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. If the company is on a path of doing things that are near and dear to someone's heart, and it happens often, right? I've got friends in the environmental business. I've got friends in the solar energy business. I've got friends and it's interesting. I just mentioned two things that I'll tell you earlier on in my career. I didn't have any clients in that world. So if the mission fits your being, that's great. Number one. Number two, management is not for everybody. But I will tell you, my first real sales career, there wasn't room for me to grow unless somebody died or quit.
Yeah.
Now, I would probably still be there today. But guess what? So would the two and three people above me. Doesn't mean, like, again, it's not the only thing, but if you're going to move up in a career in sales, you better pay attention to what's above you, because if it's your buddy and that's fine and you work together, that's great. So look at that. Look at the price point and study the competition. If nobody is buying what you sell, your company, if nobody is buying it, there's a reason. Is it not marketed properly? Is it not priced properly? Did they not go to market properly? Is the competition eating everybody's lunch? You've got to do a bit of homework on your product, certainly, but your competitors as well.
Yeah.
And then I look at the culture of the company, the overall culture of the company. And some cultures are fantastic. I have some clients right now. I love the culture of these companies. And it's no question where it comes from. It comes from right up top. And it's exciting to see. It's not always that way, but you've got to fit in with that culture. And so many HR departments now are doing a very good job of making sure cultures match. There's this talk of emotional intelligence that's very popular lately. If that company screams emotional intelligence and you have only intellect and no emotional intelligence, it's probably not going to fit, probably not going to work out, and the vice versa too. Yeah. So there's a way if you're in that and it's, yes, the money matters. It matters, right? I see if you're in sales and money isn't in the top two or three reasons you're in the business, probably not the right reason to be in the business. Money's got to matter.
Yeah.
Especially with all the work that you have to do. People don't think it's work. People don't think you got to work in sales.
It's work and it's true. And if the money's not there, I mean, I always tell people, like, mission's awesome. It's what gets you in the door and it's what keeps you there. but it's really tricky if you, obviously you have to feed your family, right? You have to make sure that you're meeting your obligations and that it's a win-win scenario. And it's nothing against the business or the, you know, the owners or anything like that. It's just, you have to do what's right for you and for your family. And if you're thinking about it from a long-term career standpoint and not just like a stop along the way, then you'll probably and possibly get yourself into less maybe dead ends in terms of things that probably weren't going to work in the first place.
Great observation. That's a great observation.
So Dave, I want to switch it up here. I do want to spend some time talking about Sales Coaches Corner. So first off, I mean, tell us a little bit more about the business.
We're a systematic approach to selling, right? I'm in business. I go to or do these Teams and Zoom sessions where I train a systematic way to approach selling. I put science to a very artful profession. Do this, do that, say this, say that.
Yeah.
Now I've been doing it for 30 years. I've developed probably 400 or 500 hours worth of material. So I have a lot of material. Not everybody gets the same material, they get what they need. So we assess ahead of time to find out where the best growth will come from. And the programs are customized to each company. It's generally a company in 4 or 5 different categories, real competitive business. Face-to-face relationship sale, not telemarketing necessarily. Certainly not online sales. So a competitive business, face-to-face, high price point, lots of competition, and the cost to win the business is high. Like I've got clients that spend $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to put the quote package together.
Wow.
To go out and not win the business. So the cost of doing business is high.
Yes.
So in that regard, the first three things I said, make sure you don't just dump information all over everybody. Make sure you manage expectations well and make sure you get to reality quickly, right? The cost of doing business would cause one to get to reality very quickly because if it's not going to work, I want to save that $75,000 and go spend time on business that's more likely to come my way, right? So it's a systematic approach to selling supported by one-on-one coaching where people call, text, email me to put tactical skill building to the lessons that were taught in the class. So it's almost like, you know, your first base coach teaches you how to steal base.
Oh, yeah.
Practice.
Oh, yeah.
Because you leave, you're going too far. You're going to get picked off too far. And he says, come back. Okay. Now take a step. All right. Watch the pitcher. Go.
Yeah.
Right. It's that. That's training.
Yes.
Then we get in the game. Now, first base coach could still say all that stuff.
Of course. Right?
But is he going to tip off the first baseman? Is he going to want to tip off the pitcher? So in the game, it's more tactical and practical. So yeah. I teach the material, classroom style, if you will. And then I leave for 2 weeks. Come back, teach another module. And while I'm gone, they have access to me for coaching over the phone. Hey, Dave, I got one. Tell me what I need to do. Here's what I think is going to happen. What do you think? So now I'm dotted line to them sales manager wise without product and service fogging me. I don't come at it with, I don't come at anything with a bias of, oh my God, what's the competitor going to do? We better make sure our plastic injection mold is spec'd out properly. I have none of that. I come at it soft skill selling wise and it's a blast. Because that's what people need. I don't know if I've ever coached a company that didn't ace the product knowledge. They know their product. Everybody knows their product. And that's part of the problem. That's what they spend time on. Let's bring in the product training specialist. Well, that's good. You've got the product down. Now, let's start learning how to talk to strangers. Let's start learning how to prospect. Let's start learning how to connect and engage and ask questions, set expectations, ask for referrals. Handle objections, all this stuff that most people think is a piece of cake. I put systems to all of that stuff.
It's great. And one of the things I noticed, so when you're talking about like being prepared for the sales, as you mentioned, and saving that 70,000, getting to the no, or if they're not, that wasn't your exact word, getting to the no, but it was getting to see if something like could happen, right?
Yeah.
In a sales process. Now, you mentioned a pretty, you know, large example where, so some people that watch this are going to say 70,000 just for the proposal. Wow. Right.
Yeah, that's so not I what I
to
do. Yeah.
That maybe down also to the small business owner, because I feel that, you know, for those large companies like that maybe have that bandwidth for that 70,000 and maybe to, you know, to not hit all of those because they know there's a rate there. They have some room for error there. But I find that a lot of our small business owners spend way too much time when they have, let's just say, a shorter runway on deals and on things that aren't necessarily going to maybe ever work out. And by the way, when I say that, I'll pick on myself first. Like that was one of my initial wrong things in many businesses that I've started in the past that failed, right? Like I'm on Mission Matters is like probably like number 20 and we finally hit one, right? Maybe I'm a little slower than some of the entrepreneurs out there, but finally hit one and finally found my groove and my calling there and have an amazing team around us. But
what did you start when you were eight?
Actually, let me tell you about the first business. It was a folding socks when I was five. I got 10 cents a sock. Come on.
I love that.
I've been working since I was five. That's what I like to tell people. I had a siding business when I was probably 14. So yeah.
Oh, good for you.
So I've always worked, obviously with the help of my friends and family and an amazing support system, right? Sure. So nothing's ever done by yourself. But for all sake and purposes, you know, I learned through a lot of these experiences, well, all of them actually. And so kind of circling back to the question.
Yeah.
Especially for these small business owners, spending too much time on that thing that maybe is not going to work.
Think about this. It's their life. A lot of times it's their invention. It's their idea. Now I'm Bob or Karen, and I have this invention, and it doesn't matter what it is. Somebody asked to learn about it. Oh my God! She said she likes me. What are they going to do? They're going to tell them about it.
Yeah.
Right. The least bit of interest.
Yeah.
It gets in their mind gets expanded. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. They want a proposal. They want a quote. We better make it good. A lot of startup companies in the Detroit area. And believe it or not, a lot of tech startups.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we're not Silicon Valley. We're not Austin, Texas, but there are a number of tech startups. Mm-hmm. And when I'm afforded the opportunity to work with those folks, it's almost like there's a cookie cutter CEO founder. Great idea. Wonderful idea. Could write it if it's code with his eyes closed, knows the product so much, pitches it, whatever pitch means.
Yeah.
Again, the slightest bit of interest. Mm-hmm. Now we go into, oh my God, throw everything at this. They want us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's technically qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Technically. But that doesn't mean it's soft skill qualified. Mm-hmm. Some of these folks don't even ask if they're talking to the appropriate decision maker.
Yeah.
Some of these folks rarely uncover, is there a budget? Are you looking for, does this fit in your budget? Mm-hmm. And we're gonna talk about this word pain or the compelling problem that folks have. Yeah. Rarely, if ever, do they understand what the real problem is because they're too busy talking about how great the solution is. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you my experience. It makes sense, but I want to help the entrepreneur that really knows too much.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful. I've been in so many situations where that company hire salespeople to do that. And they push it off to the side because it can't be that hard. And now all of a sudden they have a lower level person in sales doing what some might contend the most important work at the company. And the CEO or owner doesn't really pay attention to it. Just go out there and quote more business, throw more spaghetti against the wall.
Yeah.
See if we can do it for the right price. Let's see if we can cut the price. Find out how much competition's paying. We'll go less. We'll get our foot in the door. And these poor kids, younger, lower level of sales folks, are really learning the wrong thing to start out their career. Oh, so
it's a cycle. That cycle that you just said, I'm cringing because I've done it. And I know some of the people watching this are like, Dave, why you hit me in the heart with that one, man? Why are you picking on me? But it's a cycle and it's true.
Imagine somebody telling you, you know, your baby kind of got big ears. And a big nose. What your baby's kind of ugly. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear their baby. Nobody wants to hear their invention is not going to be bought. Whatever you do, don't tell me no. So now they do anything in the world to avoid hearing the word no. They waste time. They follow up. They see if they can improve efficiencies. They see if they can cut this, add that. Never really hearing, we're not interested.
Yeah.
Please go away. They don't hear it because they don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, they're out of business or their pipeline is so small that they have to have every deal. And when you have to have every deal, you're going to do whatever you can to get them. And none of that supports strong selling. Mm-hmm. That supports desperation. Yeah. So it's really interesting. They have systems for everything. They have systems for everything. These are smart people, very scientific people. They leave sales to that guy over there. It's so interesting. Don't do that if you're an entrepreneur. Right?
Man, Dave, there's just so much wisdom that you're dropping here today on this. And that's just, 30 years plus in experience in the sales field. I mean, it shows.
I started when I was four.
So I'm curious to know, because at the end of this, I'll give you, I'll of course give you the opportunity to leave your website, social media, however our audience can follow up to learn more about working with you and your team. I'm curious to know, like, what kind of entrepreneurs typically do you find get the best, get the most value out of working with you? Is it just large companies, enterprise? Is it middle market? Is there room for small businesses? Give us a feel of the lay of the land there so the right people can connect.
Yeah, that's a very good question. It's not enterprise. Those folks have a guy like me on staff in every city. It's not that. But yeah. I would love, I mean, have I changed? I've worked with Chevron. I've worked with Merrill Lynch. I've worked with big companies, but it's friendly entrees into those companies. Yeah. My wheelhouse is a sales force with 5 to 20 salespeople that are actively selling. They have prospecting responsibilities to grow business, but they also manage accounts.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, they have a very active sales leader. And it might be a VP. It might be a director. It might be a sales manager, but it is somebody that pays attention to salespeople and is actively involved. That spreadsheet and that P&L is directly tied to that person. That person's involved in the training, sits in the class. Okay. In my geography, I'm in the Detroit area. A lot of them support the auto industry, but that doesn't mean all of my clients are in the auto industry. It's companies that compete. I mean, again, there's tons of competition.
Oh, for sure.
So some of these folks, and this is part of the problem, they're reduced to a commodity, even though they're not a commodity.
Right.
Right. This very highly engineered part all of a sudden is reduced to a commodity because they sell the same thing. And if that's the case, if they're selling the same thing that you're selling, why are you charging 18? They're only charging 16 and a half.
Right.
So now, you know, it's value selling. You've said that today. It's a $50 to $100 million company. But I trained $3 million company. It doesn't need to be a gigantic company. It needs to have salespeople that hunt for business, that have to bring in business, manage business as well.
Yeah.
A very active sales leader, sales manager, director, VP.
Yeah.
And they're, if they don't get the deal, time, energy, and money was wasted. And it's like, oh man, I wish we could get that time back.
Yeah.
Companies know what I'm talking about, but owners right now know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's a grind. Yeah. I bring a fresh set of eyes, a devil's advocate approach to what are we really trying to accomplish here? And it's empowering, enlightening, hurts at first. It hurts. Again, how do you say no to an opportunity? I can't say no. Well, okay, say yes. What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Same thing that always happens.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say no, right? It's okay. Let's look for business that has fruit on it. So that's the wheelhouse. Doesn't have to be local to Detroit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's my second favorite way to deliver material over this machine.
Yeah. But
it doesn't need to be in Detroit. It's just easy if it is, because I face to face is my favorite.
But yeah.
Probably same with you.
Yeah, it's great. For sure. Well, Dave, first off, you gave a nice masterclass today on sales. And I know this is the tip of the iceberg in terms of what business owners can benefit from working with you and your team. If somebody does want to connect, I mean, what's the best way for them to reach out and to do that?
Email dave@salescoachescorner.com. Sales coaches is plural, COACHES, just like it says on the screen.
Yeah.
Website is just Sales Coaches Corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Sales Coaches, COACHES, Corner.
Yeah.
Twitter, Dave Tier. LinkedIn, Dave Tier. Facebook, Sales Coaches Corner.
Yep.
Personally, you want to see how great my kids are? Dave Tier. Don't care about my kids? I promise I won't put their report card up like a lot of parents. You ever see that? Somebody puts their kid's report card up just so they could get proud.
Yeah.
Proud parents for a day. But it's my Facebook page is Sales Coaches Corner.
It's great.
All right.
Well, and we'll put all that information, by the way, in the show notes so that our audience can just click on it and head right on over and connect with you and your team and your content as well. I see you're pretty active on LinkedIn, so I definitely follow you there, and I recommend my audience does as well. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time following a Mission Matters episode or connecting with the platform, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, experts, having them share why they do what they do, how they do it, and really share the best of their tips and their knowledge so that we can all benefit as entrepreneurs and as people out there in the world trying to make a difference. If that is the type of content you're into, or if that sounds interesting, feel free to definitely hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Dave, really, it has been a pleasure having you on the show. I'm so excited to publish your work and our upcoming book. Definitely bringing you back on the show for a follow-up interview after that book's published. And again, thanks again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Adam. I appreciate it a lot. Thanks much.